This is Local Views, first time in August '09. We've talked about this a time or two before on Local Views, but it showed up in the Grass Valley Union this week, so this would be a good time to mention it again. The story is that some local establishments which provide live music have been targeted by Broadcast Music International, BMI, for collection of licensing fees for the music they present. BMI is one of the two prominent services which collect money earned by copyrighted music and distribute it to the holders of the copyrights. For example, a record label or a concert promoter makes money selling music. A share of that money belongs to the owners of the copyrights, usually the composers of the music. BMI collects the money and distributes it to those who are entitled. This is not an exact science, of course, because no one keeps track of exactly which pieces of music are played, how many times, in which venue, so licensing companies like BMI rely on arbitrary formulas to decide who pays, who receives, and how much. This is a valuable service for the tiny number of artists and composers whose music actually earns a lot of money. What the union didn't tell you is that squeezing money out of small local venues is just a small-time stick-up. The major artists don't need or want the small change from the small players. Imagine if you were a street musician playing for tips with your hat on the sidewalk, and a BMI agent walked up and demanded a percentage of the money in your hat to give to the millionaire artist whose song you just sang. By extorting money from small venues, BMI isn't really making money for artists directly, but it's trying to smash the competition by making it harder for people to make their own music locally. It even demands money from stores and restaurants which play the radio, even though money already was collected from the radio station for the songs it plays. So far, you still can play your own stereo for your friends, but if you happen to hear recorded music in public, BMI demands money. A couple of stories which fit into our ongoing discussion of the electronic revolution in everyday communication. The social networking sites are currently enjoying an explosion of popularity. Skeptics say it's just a fad. We're talking things like YouTube, Facebook, and the current favorite, Twitter. These things are just variations on websites and blogs, but they're also just variations on making phone calls. Just a fancy way to have a chat, but sometimes they take on greater importance. In China and Iran, for example, people use the social networking sites to move information about dissent and protests, causing the governments to attempt blocking the sites and even track down and destroy individual computers from which anti-government information and ideas are distributed. Now, a couple of stories illustrating electronic networking going a little too far. You've probably heard that job seekers now are preparing videos as a routine part of their resumes, and they need a place to show them, so Facebook is convenient. But now employers have begun to demand a Facebook profile with a video as part of any job application, and some even want to know how many friends you have subscribing to your site. We used to hear that you couldn't get a good job without an education. Now you can't get one unless you're popular on the Internet. And we've talked before about the Internet as the great equalizer against deceptive advertising. But in Chicago, a woman is being dragged into court for tweeting some unkind words about her landlord. She forgot to limit her comments to her friends, so the property management company got a look and sued her to the tune of $50,000 for maliciously defaming the company. Even though she'll win, it demonstrates that free speech isn't free when it's directed at those who pay the lawyers. A representative of the property management company said, "We're a sue-first-and-ask-questions-later organization." Finally, a perfect example of spending priorities in your new state budget. We've talked before about how the prison empire enjoys greater favor than social programs which try to keep people out of the courts and the jails. Governor Arnold thinks the state has enough money to go ahead and spend $356 million to build a new housing unit for the ever-growing population on San Quentin's death row. No matter how you feel about capital punishment, you probably won't be too comfortable with this little construction project in light of all the cuts of services you actually want. That's Local Views for this week. This is Mark Stannert reminding you that this commentary doesn't necessarily set any budget priorities for KVMR, its management, staff, or contributors. Email mark@calopi.com.